Guys, we're just glad that you are here with us this morning. I believe that every day is a day that the Lord wants to touch somebody and change them and mold them. And just, He wants you to be like that clay, doesn't He? He wants to recognize when times when we need to seek Him more than ever. But boy, He wants to get that confirmation. They know, hey, I am here for you. I've always been here. And I just thank you for the Lord. He is so faithful. And this morning, you guys, before we bring up our special guest minister this morning, I want to tell you a little bit about him. Kim Burks has been ministering in the city long before I ever came on the scene. But he was a pastor here for 12 years, and the same building that they had is where the Rock is at right now. And Ken Burks is such a tremendous blessing. Most of you have heard him minister before. He always comes probably a couple times a year. And we just love this great man, his spirit, and of course we love his wife too. Because behind every good man is an awesome woman. Okay, that's what completes a man, isn't that right? So, you know, our family, we just call it a tremendous privilege and a blessing to know these great people and what they have to offer, not only to our church whenever they come minister, but not only their friendship, but what they do in their church and all that they're doing over there. And boy, as they increase, we're going to just bless them and praise God for their increase over there, because we know our increase is coming too. Amen? Amen. But before we bring Ken up, let's just stand. And I just want to thank the Lord for this man. Amen. Let's just lift our hands up to heaven. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this gift named Ken and Lydia Burks to the body of Christ. We know, Lord, that they are a gift, that they offer so much inspiration, so much support, Lord. More than probably people even recognize, even in their own congregation, Lord. They're behind the scenes. They're making things happen. They're doing all that they can to support their pastor, Lord. And you see these things. And God, as they've been so faithful, Lord, you've been faithful to increase them in every area of their life, Lord, because they've been faithful with the little things. So, Lord, we just call it a privilege, and we thank you for this great man of God and all that he's gonna raise the roof this morning to just increase us and encourage us and just give us a challenging word that can help us in our walk with you, Lord. So we thank you for Ken Burks. We thank you, Lord, for the word that he's gonna minister this morning. Let it be just anointed. Let power come throughout from him out into the congregation, Lord, and give us an anointing ear and a heart to receive this morning, that we can take this and we can run with it, Lord, to do things, to do great things, to build the kingdom of God. And we thank you for that, Father. And we thank you, Lord. Amen. So let's just give this awesome man of God, let's just give him a hand as he comes to the pulpit this morning.
Am I on? I don't think this is on. Get me straightened out here. Okay.
Hello? Hello?
Oh, there we go.
Testing.
Amen. You can be seated. It's always a really great privilege to be in the house of the Lord, especially in this house. Amen? God is good. God is wonderful. Have you figured that one out? That we serve a wonderful and a great God. And that He loves each and every one of you more than what we even can understand and acknowledge. It's beyond our comprehension how much God really loves us. Amen? And so, I know He loves me too. Let's pray and just ask for God's blessing upon His word this morning. Father, we thank you today that you are such an awesome God. That you are the God that sought us out, Lord, even before we were thinking about you. God, you looked upon us and you said, there's somebody I can love. And Father, we open our hearts to your word today because of your love. And I just ask, God, that you would open each and every one of our hearts our minds, our ears to what your Spirit has to say, that we might hear together what you have for us today. We give you all the praise, all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How many of us have found ourselves walking aimlessly from time to time? We find ourselves in our Christian walk, and we don't even know what we're doing half the time. Where we're going, what's going on, but yet we still know God is out there, amen? And that He loves us. And we know that we need a change. We need a change of scenery. How many have ever felt like, I just need a change of scenery? Something needs to change around here. Something needs to change in me. But we're not really sure how to go about making that change. How do we do that? I feel too often we settle for mere existence with nothing really exciting happening in our lives. We're simply stuck in a rut. How many have ever been stuck in a rut? We're stuck in a rut with little hope of ever really making an impact with our lives. How many here today want to make an impact with your lives? You want your life to count for something. I think that's a heart cry of all of us, that God has put us here for a reason. Amen? He's put us here for a purpose. He's giving us something to do. Okay, what are we going to do? How are we going to get out of the rut and begin to make our lives count for God? Today, what I'd like to do is I'd like to talk to you about breaking free from the ruts of life. Because so often we find ourselves deep in the rut, not sure how to go about getting out of it, and it seems like it's just too much of a struggle. We've tried over and over, but we just kept going deeper and deeper and deeper in the rut. And we think sometimes it's just too overwhelming. How do we do it? How do we get free? How do we break free from this rut that we find ourselves in? And actually sometimes what happens is that we get used to being there. We get comfortable living a life of mere existence. You know, when I was out in the world, that's where I was at. I was in a deep rut. And life was nothing more than just existing from one day to the next. When I got saved, I expect something more. I expected something more from my life. Something more from God. God, I don't want to just come into this thing and just be someone who's, you know, a spectator sitting on the sidelines waiting for things to happen. I want to be a part of what's happening. I want to be a part of what you're doing in the earth today. I want to understand your purpose, your vision, what it is that you have for my life. I want to know what makes me tick. You see, I'm the type of person sometimes that it takes me a little bit of time to figure out what really makes me tick. I'm not a deep, deep emotional type of a person. Sometimes I don't even know what I feel. I have to think about it for a while. My wife always knows what she feels, and she always tells me. But it takes me a little bit more to get in touch with my feelings. But I want to feel. I want to know what it is that makes me tick. I want to know what it is that God has for me and where He's going in my life. So I want to talk about breaking free from the ruts of life. I want to talk about the dynamics of breaking free from these ruts that we find ourselves in and moving forward with a strong sense of purpose and vision in our lives. How many want that? You want to know what God is doing in your life. How to just break loose and begin to see things happening in your lives. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12, that from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. So the kingdom, even now, is suffering a violent attack. I mean, we don't have to look too hard in the world today to see that things are under attack. that the kingdom is suffering violence. But in the midst of that, he says, the violent take it by force. You know who the violent are? We are. We are the enforcers. That's what that word means. The enforcers take it by force. We are the enforcers. We are the violent ones. We are the energetic ones that are to take the kingdom by force. Wow! That's me? Yeah, and that's you too. That's all of us. You know why? Because we have the power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit working in each and every one of us. How many can just envision that for a minute? God of the universe. God of the universe in all of His power, all of His authority. You know, His magnitude lives and dwells within each and every one of us. He's just waiting to be released. He's just waiting to be released in our lives. So that He can pull us out of these ruts. And so, in order to move forward in this manner, you have to have a strong sense of purpose and destiny. You have to know who you are in God. You have to know what God's vision is for you, what His purpose is for you, what He wants to do in your life. It doesn't just happen. Wouldn't it be nice if things would just happen? Sometimes they do. And it's wonderful when they do. But I don't build my life on waiting for things to happen. I believe that God wants us to take steps of faith. Amen? Steps of faith and make them happen. You know, there's a wonderful story in 1 Samuel chapter 14 about Jonathan and his armor bearer. How many know that story? You know, all of Israel is under attack, and you know, the Philistines have this stronghold, and they're sending people back and forth and just causing all kinds of havoc in Israel. And the whole army is down in this valley just kind of twiddling their thumbs and wondering, what are we going to do? How are we going to, you know, break forth into this stronghold and do something that would tear it down? And nobody does anything. And then Jonathan gets this bright idea. He says to his armor bearer, he says, come with me. He says, it might just be. Notice his confession. I don't have time to go there. But he says, it may be that the Lord will work on our behalf. He didn't know what God would do, but he knew what God was capable of doing. He knew what God was capable of doing, and he stepped out in faith based on what he knew God could do. And as he began to do that, God began to work with him. And before the whole thing was said and done, the Philistines were in a state of confusion, and they had taken that stronghold, and it was a great victory that day. You see, too many of us are just sitting on the sidelines waiting for things to happen. We need to understand that we have a God who knows how to make things happen. Amen? He knows how to break forth into our lives and into our communities. And so how do we go about doing this? How do we break free and move forward with a sense of destiny and purpose? I believe, first of all, we need a fresh perspective from God. We need a fresh perspective from God. I believe too often we're living on yesterday's anointing. We're living on yesterday's blessing. We need to have our vessels filled up fresh every day. Every day. We need to have our vessels filled up. Recently, I had the opportunity to go back to Kansas City with a number of people from our church to visit the IHOP ministry there. No, that's not a pancake house. It's a place where people pray night and day. In fact, they have prayed for 2.5 years, night and day, without ever stopping. And I am thinking, before I go, we're going for 7 days. Now, I like to pray. But for 7 days? Lord, I think I'm going to get a little bored in this process here. I just could not fathom in my mind sitting in one place praying for 7 days. But you know, I got there and I began to enter into what it was all about, and I couldn't wait to get back the next day. It was the most awesome experience I've had in the Lord. It took me back to when I was first saved. All of those same emotions that I had when I was first saved, experiencing the love of Jesus Christ in my life, that first love, I began to sense those things. But you know what empowers this whole movement back there? It's the love of Jesus. It's understanding that He is crazy about us. Now, how many of you here today have children? Now, how many of you enjoy your children, especially when they're little? And every little thing they do is just so cute. And, you know, wow, did you see what little Johnny did today? You see, that's what God is like with us. God is like that with us. Did you see what Don did today? Did you see that? It's an amazing thing. And so I believe what begins to happen is that we have to change our perspective. My perspective on God's love got changed. And as a result, everything I do now, when I reopen the Word and I read, I begin to see more of God's love. In fact, shortly after I'd gotten home, we were listening, we had a worship CD on, and I said to Lydia, "Lydia, what is that CD we're listening to? They've got the same revelation." It's an amazing thing. Everything I began to hear was God's love being poured into our lives. You see, what happens is that we're motivated by many things that are temporal. But we need to be motivated out of the love of our Father more than anything else. And so we need that perspective change. If we're to break free from the ruts of life and move forward in a more dynamic way, we need to understand that God has great things in store for each and every one of us. We need to know what God's heart towards us is. That God expects and desires great things from each and every one of us. We simply need to believe that He really does desire good things for us. That He really does desire good things for our lives. In Jeremiah 29 and verse 11 it says, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." See, one of the things that we need more than anything else is hope. Hope is the anchor of our soul. It's the thing that keeps us steady in the midst of life's trials. Knowing that no matter what happens in our lives, no matter how difficult a trial or a season that we are going through, there's still the hope of Jesus Christ that He continually holds out before each and every one of us. The plans that He has. The plans that He has for our lives. See, I am convinced that a lot of Christians are not even aware of the plans that God has for their lives. They're not even aware of the future that God has for their lives. And I don't believe it's in God's best interest to keep it a secret from us. Amen? It's for our benefit for God to reveal these things. That's why it says in Ephesians 1 and verse 17 that the eyes of your understanding would be opened to understand His calling, His hope, His inheritance that He has towards each and every one of us. And so we need that fresh perspective. Number two, we need a fresh dose of God's love in a new way. We need to understand that God loves us even in our worst moments. See, we can understand. See, a lot of us have a works mentality. A performance-based mentality. We think if we do this, God will love us more. If we do this just right, He'll really love us. No. He's going to love you the same whether you do it lousy or good. That's just the way it is. You see, you're not going to get any more of God's favor than you already have. We already have more favor than what we know to do with. We already have all the favor that we can possibly have from God. So much so that He gave His only begotten Son for us to have that. We see that in 1 John 4 and verse 10 where it says, "And this is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a propitiation for our sins." You see, we've tried. How many have tried lots of ways to get motivated? Motivation is a tough thing. How do we stay motivated? Oh, we'll get motivated for certain seasons, for certain things that come up. But how do we maintain that godly motivation in our lives? I believe it's only through the love of Jesus Christ, understanding how great His love is towards us. Understanding that even in my worst state, God is still crazy about me. He loves me so much. Even in my worst state. See, how could you possibly spend time in prayer if you thought God was angry with you, if He didn't like you? Who wants to pray to somebody that's angry with you? Amen? God is not angry with us. You see, we are constantly covered in His robe of righteousness. We're not walking in our own righteousness. We're not walking in our own goodness, because our own goodness is always never going to make it. It's filthy. Our own goodness, the best that you could possibly be, is as filthy rags before the Lord. So quit trying. Quit trying to earn His favor. You already have His favor. You see, I'm convinced one of the primary things that we as Christians need to do is learn how to wear the robe successfully. To learn how to wear His robe of righteousness. Because my Bible tells me when I'm wearing that robe that He has sympathy towards me, and that I can boldly go to His throne and receive mercy and help in time of need at any time. I don't have to come like a little puppy with my tail wagged between my legs when I sin. I can come boldly to the throne of grace. The Bible tells us that a righteous man falls 7 times and gets back up. Notice that it says a righteous man falls, not an unrighteous man, but a righteous man falls. You see, it isn't the falling that keeps us down. It's the inability to know how to get back up. And some Christians, I've watched them, that they'll fall and they'll go into this tailspin, they'll get into this rut because they're weighed down with condemnation and guilt and everything else, and they think they're so unworthy before the Lord. How could He ever do anything with me? I'm such a rotten sinner. The truth is, we're all rotten sinners. It's His worthiness. It's His ability. And so the key is learning how to get back up. How to get back up. Immediately. Don't wallow in it. You just simply get back up and say, "Jesus Christ, I know that You love me. And I know that You forgave me of my sins." And so we try everything. We try godly fear to motivate us. We try to get motivated about being prosperous. Maybe that'll keep us motivated. But the truth is, there's only one constant motivating element that really works. And that's knowing the love of Christ. And understanding how to walk in His love. You see, we must be convinced that in our worst state, God loves us as much as He does in our best state. It's got to be in your heart. It's got to be such a deep-seated belief in your heart that you understand that you are in His righteousness. That you belong to Him. Romans 5 says this, "But God demonstrates His own love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." While we were still in our sin, He died for us. The third point here is this, and this goes along with everything else, is that we have to let go of our past. We have to let go of the past. In order to move forward with a sense of force, we must accept the fact that we must let go of the past. You see, too many of us filter everything we do in the present through the past. And what happens when we do that is we get a distorted view of what the present is really like. Our paradigm needs to change. Our glasses need to change. We need to filter everything through the fact that we have been totally forgiven and released from the past. And I believe that as we do that, we will begin to see revelation in a new way. We will begin to see what God desires for our lives in a new and a dynamic weight. Because what happens is that the weight of the past keeps us in that rut that God is trying to get us out of. No matter how miserably we have failed, God's desire is for us to receive His love and His forgiveness. Psalms 103 and verse 12 says this: "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." Now listen to this. Why didn't He say north from the south? You know why? You can measure the distance from north to south, from the North Pole to the South Pole. But there is no dividing line when it comes east and west. You cannot measure the distance from east and west. And what God is saying is that once I have forgiven you of your sins, they are gone. No more remembrance of them. If God has forgotten about them, why should I begin to think about them? And you know, sometimes what we try to justify ourselves from God, just so in doing that, what we do is we bring up our sins and we want to feel bad about them. We want to feel bad that we did this. We feel we have to feel bad. But God says, you know what? I don't even remember what you're talking about. I don't even remember what you're talking about. It's gone. It's been erased from His memory banks. And I am convinced that if we begin to look at God in that light, that He will erase them from our memory banks as well. You think about this. The things that you remember best from years ago are things that you constantly bring up. Things that you no longer bring up, you have no remembrance of it. It's memory association. So quit bringing up all the garbage. When Satan tries to bring it up, say, you know what? I've forgotten about that. I don't even know what you're talking about. Because my God has forgotten about it as well. Don't let Him be the accuser of the brethren. Just let Him know where He stands. And that's nowhere. And what happens is that when we hang on and we dwell on the past, it's like air moving through a dirty filter. Even though something new and fresh is trying to enter the room, it's passing through that dirty filter. And all we get is the distorted, dirty air. You see, God wants to blow fresh wind in each one of our lives. But does it have to pass through the dirty filter of the past? Or is it passing through this brand new clean filter of forgiveness and love? You see, that's what we want. It's for when God wants to breathe something new into us, it must pass through an unfiltered, distorted view of the past. Think about Jonah. Jonah was sent to Nineveh. He was kicking his heels all the way. He didn't understand God's heart. He didn't understand the bigger picture of what was going on. And we see Jonah in his soaking disappointment came from a failure of imagination, a failure of heart. He had no idea what God was doing. The largeness of God's love and His mercy and His salvation. He did not see it. He did not get the picture. Because all he was seeing was his self. He had reduced his vocation to his own performance. He was in the right place. Listen to this. He was in the right place, doing the right thing, but he interpreted everything through his Jonah ideas, through his Jonah desires, through his own filter of self. And how many times have you and I been in the right place? We've been at the right place at the right time, but because we have been so focused on self, we miss out on the new thing that God wants to do. We miss out on what God really wants to do in our lives. Our own ideas, our own desires get in the way, and we totally miss out on what God's trying to say because we're trying to filter everything through our self-imposed will and desires, through our past. We continue to concentrate too much on the past, we get bogged down. We lose all hope of ever getting out of the rut that we found ourselves in. We will not have the impetus to meet the new challenges that we face. How many know that life is full of challenges? Getting up in the morning is a challenge for some of us. Life is full of challenges. And so we need to have and understand the idea of just totally leaving yesterday alone and living for what God is doing today. The next point here is that we need to allow God to renew our spirits. Get in touch with what God wants to do rather than what you want. You see, so many times we try to impose God's will on what we want, rather than saying, Lord, I need to be more involved in what you want. You see, David prayed. David prayed a lot. And in this instance, he prayed for God to create in him a new heart, to renew a right and a steadfast spirit with him. This should be our attitude as well. We see this in Psalms 51 where he says, create in me, O Lord, a clean heart, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. How many of us recently have prayed that prayer? And we wonder, why am I still in the rut? Why am I still here? Why am I still just trudging along in mere existence? And I have not even taken the time to say, Lord, create in me, Lord, a clean heart. Create in me a pure heart. Create in me a steadfast spirit. Do something in me, Lord God. Cleanse me, purify me, move me forward in a more dynamic way. The cry of our heart should be for God to continually create a heart, a new heart within us. To continually renew our spirits. And as we do this, it will put us in the proper position for God to do new things in our lives, to create in our lives. I love the creative aspect of God. Where you just give yourselves over to God. How many of you have taken a step of faith and weren't quite sure that you could do what you set out to do, but as you took that step of faith, the grace and the mercy of God met you? I live by that. It's a powerful, motivating factor in my life, knowing that in God I can do all things. That His sufficiency is greater than my sufficiency. If I had to live on my own sufficiency, my own talents, my own abilities, I would be nowhere. But I have God's abilities working in me. I have His sufficiency working in me. It's not my own. And so, why should I put limitations on myself? You see, so many of us, we put self-imposed limitations based upon who we think we are, what our personality trait says. Let me tell you, how many know that, you know, some of us are cholerics, some of us are sanguine, some of us are melancholies, some of us are phlegmatics. How many know that I am a phlegmatic? I don't sound like a phlegmatic, do I? But you know what? I don't allow the limitations of my personality to say who I am in Jesus Christ. Jesus can do anything He wants with us. His grace is powerful than that. The anointing, when it takes over in our lives, supersedes and goes beyond our own natural abilities and our outlook on who we are. God is without limit in our life. And so when we get a picture of God working in us in that way, you know what happens? We begin to expect new things. We begin to expect ourselves to get out of this rut and begin to see some more dynamic things happening in our lives. And so our cry of our hearts is to be, God, renew a steadfast spirit within me. This means spending time with Him so that we can renew and strengthen, so that He can renew and strengthen our lives. Having the Holy Spirit reveal new things comes from waiting upon God and allowing Him to speak to our spirits. You see, so often, the reason we're not moving in the Holy Spirit is that our mind is so clogged up with all the other voices. We haven't taken the time to be quiet with God and allow His Spirit to speak and to point us in the right direction. Isaiah 40 and verse 31 says, "For those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength." They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. How many want to claim that verse? Man, that sounds too good to be true. You mean I'm not going to be walking around tired all the time and feel like, you know, I'm just about ready to die and go over the hill or whatever? No! God says, I'm breathing new life into you. And I believe that that's what keeps us young. It's what keeps us young. It's what keeps us from giving in to the feelings of the body and the aches and the moans of the body and everything else. Sometimes, you know, the problem is that we're walking in so much refreshment and joy and peace with God that we forget how old we really are. I know none of you have that problem, but I do from time to time. I said, Lord, can't you renew my body as well? He says, yeah, just have faith and believe, I'll do it. The next point here is very important. And that is, number 5, rely on the Holy Spirit to help you and to equip you. I love this scripture in Colossians 1:29. It says, "To this end I also labor." This is Paul speaking. He says, "To this end I labor, striving according to His working." That's the operative word there. His working. He says, "I labor striving according to His working, which works in me mightily." And this word mightily is a strong word. It's the same word of dunamis, where we get power from. It means miraculous power, ability, miraculous ability, abundance, might, strength, violence. That's where we get that violence from. It's not from ourselves, it's from the Holy Spirit working in us. I am convinced of this, that the reason that that scripture is not true for some of our lives, some of the time, is because the Holy Spirit is working mightily on our behalf, but we are dragging our feet. We're trying to get Him to do that on behalf of our own plan. And God will never succumb to that. God is saying, when you get in touch with what I desire for your life, what I'm doing in your life, this is what happens. I am working mightily on your behalf. How many have ever been at work, and either you were a sluggard, or you were put with somebody who wasn't? You ever see a gung-ho person and a sluggard working side by side? Neither one of them gets anything done. You know why? They frustrate each other. They frustrate each other. They're not teamed together. They're not yoked together. And I believe many times in our Christian walk, we have frustrated the Spirit of grace. Amen? We have frustrated God. We have frustrated the Spirit. We have quenched the Holy Spirit in our lives because we're trying to get Him to do what we want to do rather than us joining Him. And when we begin to join with Him, when we find that unity, When we find that sense of purpose, that sense of direction that He is flowing in, guess what begins to happen? All hell begins to break loose. We begin to demolish strongholds, not only in our lives, but in the lives of people around us. We begin to move forward in a dynamic way, because it's not us anymore. It's the Holy Spirit, and we're just tagging along for the fun of it. And that's really where it is. Paul says, I strive according to His working. He says, this is where it's at. Paul in himself had lost everything. He'd given up everything. He says, I count it all as dung. He says, all of my training, everything, I count it all as dung. It's worthless. He says, I don't need that anymore. All I need to do is strive with the Lord. Labor together with the Lord. Labor in His arena rather than my arena. You see, I believe that God has an arena for each and every one of us to labor in. He has a field for each and every one of us to labor in. And He wants us to join Him in that. Charles Swindoll says, let me get my next point here. Number 6, build on past successes and learn from past failures. We need to learn from our failures. If we're going to get out of the rut, we have to learn from our failures and we have to build on the successes. Charles Swindoll says, great accomplishments are often attempted, but only occasionally reached. Only occasionally reached. Those who reach them are usually those who missed many times before. Failures are only temporary tests to prepare us for permanent triumphs. I mean, let's admit it. Many times we just give up because we've failed too many times. I tried to get myself out of that rut, but every time I just kind of get my head above the water and boom, I'm back down. And we begin to develop a failure mentality. God wants to change your perspective. He wants you to understand that failure just means don't do it the same way next time. Well, what did they say the definition of insanity is? When you keep trying to do it the same way over and over and over again and keep coming up with the same result. But see, our minds are conditioned that way. Even though we know it's going to produce failure, we seem like, even though we're trying, there's some benefit to it. When the truth and the reality is, there is no benefit to it. We need to get God's design. We need to ask Him, how, Lord? What are Your instructions for this phase of my life? What are Your instructions? I like the scripture here in Philippians 3, in verse 16, where it says, nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. In other words, what has worked in your life? What are the things that have worked? Keep walking by that rule. When are the seasons that you've actually gotten up and gotten out of that rut and you were going for a season of time and you were doing great things for God? What was the key during that time that made it work? It's going to work again. It's going to work again. By the same rule. Build on your path. Can determine how we sustain our motivation in life. Because it's a given that we will fail. It's a given. And so it's what you do with that failure that will determine how you sustain your motivation in life. To be successful, we must concentrate more on the successes than we do on the failures. We need to look at how much we missed the mark. And then make the necessary adjustments. Lord, what did I do here? How did I miss the mark? Then you begin to make those adjustments that will help you to make the mark more perfectly next time. We should think of the goal as a target. The bullseye is at 100. The concentric rings around it are 80 and 60 and 40 and 20. How many know you don't aim for the edge of the target? You aim for the bullseye, amen? You aim for 100. If you don't aim for 100, what's going to happen is you're going to hit zero every time. Is it bad to hit 80 once in a while? No. Is it bad to hit 60 once in a while? Or 40 once in a while? No, that's good. That's a good thing. Someone said, I would rather attempt to do something great for God and then fail than to do nothing and succeed. Listen to this. After Eisenhower won the Republican nomination for president from Robert Taft in 1952, a reporter asked Taft about his goals. He said, my great goal is to become president of the United States. In 1953, and the reporter smirked. He says, well, you didn't make it, did you? And he said, no, but I became senator of Ohio. That's a noble thing. Where was his goal? On being president. He settled for being a senator. He hit 60. Not a bad goal. But what if he never would have had that goal? We would never have known who Robert Taft was, would we? Hebrews 11 says in verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Number 7, final point. Move forward with anticipation and expectation. Move forward with a sense of anticipation, knowing that the substance of things hoped for is faith, the evidence of things not seen. For God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I believe we need to ask God to reveal to us areas you want more experience. You want to experience victory in. How many need some victory today? How many have even asked God about victory in that area? Ask God, God, this is an area that has really beset me. This is an area that has frustrated me. God, I want to go to work on this area. And then have a heart of expectation that God is going to show you how to get the victory. Or areas you want to be more diligent in. A lot of us could use that, couldn't we? Lord, what are the areas in my life that I need to be more diligent in? Or areas and new experiences that you want to come into. You see, sometimes we're never going to experience the hand of God working in our life unless we just simply step out into something new where we're dependent upon His grace working in our lives and not ourselves. See, sometimes, a lot of times, what we do, we just put it on automatic pilot and we do it. We need new experience. Sometimes we just need to do something different. I needed to go to IHOP. A year ago, I needed to go to New York City. It shook me up. It placed me in more of a place of dependence upon God for Him to open up new areas in my life. Sometimes we need to go on a mission trip. We need to just shake ourselves up sometimes, amen? Shake off the lethargy. And say, Lord, I'm putting myself out here in a new experience. Maybe you just need to go teach the children. Maybe you need to just go work in the nursery. There's all kinds of ministries I believe Don could show you that, you know, would shake you up a little bit and put you in a place of more dependency upon God to do something in your life. Or maybe there's some new areas that you need to commit yourself or recommit yourself to. And what does God want to do in your family? Pray about that. And then as you do that, you begin to say, okay, Lord, I need to be accountable to somebody for all this. Find somebody that you can begin to speak these things to. You know, going back to the story of Jonathan and his armor bearer, one thing Jonathan didn't do is he kept it secret from his dad. Do you know why? His dad probably would have laughed at him. There's some people you don't want to tell. Because they'll just bring you down. They'll just, you know, talk trash and say, oh, you can never do that. How many times have we had something great burst through our spirits and we go and we share it with somebody and they just brought us down? But see, we should have some armor bearers by our side. Some people that we can trust. Some people that would say to us, yeah, do it. I'm with you heart and soul. We need to have people like that because as we confess those things, it causes it to be realized in our lives. Look at this final scripture here in Philemon where it says, the sharing of your faith becomes effective by acknowledging every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. As we acknowledge what God is doing to others, it becomes effective. We need accountability. And so what did we decide this morning? How do we break free? How do we move forward with a sense of purpose and destiny? Number one, we need a fresh perspective of what God is doing. Number two, we need a good dose of His love. We need to be baptized in His love. Number three, we have to let go of the past. Number four, we must allow God to renew our spirits. Number five, rely on the Holy Spirit to help us. And number six, build on past successes, learn from past failures. And then number seven, move forward with anticipation and expectation. Amen? I believe there's people here today. I'd like the musicians to come if you're here. There's people here today that you simply need a fresh wind from the Holy Spirit in your life. You need the wind of God to blow upon you. And if you're here and that's you today, I want you to just come and stand across here and I'd just like to pray for you and just ask God to breathe something new into your life. Let's all stand together. If you feel like you'd like to come and this is not going to be a real heavy altar call or anything like that. I just want to pray a prayer over you and just believe that God wants to do something new and exciting in your life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just pray for each and every person that's here today, Lord God, for these that have come and responded, Lord. God, that You would do something new. And God, we know that all things are not easy in this life, but You have a way of turning the crooked paths and making them straight once again. Breathe upon these, Lord, with Your Holy Spirit, Lord. Touch them now, Lord. Touch them with Your favor, God. With Your blessing, Lord God. God, with a sense of newness, Lord. With new revelation, new purpose, Lord God. Let their eyes be open to You, Lord. Let the eyes of their understanding be opened up in a new way, Lord, where they begin to see with Your heart, Lord. Where they begin to see where You are at work in their lives, Lord. Not where they are at work, Lord, but where You are at work, Lord. Let them begin to see and experience Your blessing, Lord. Your favor, God. Let them see, Lord, that You have totally forgiven, Lord. That You have anointed each and every one of them, Lord, for the purpose, for the calling that You have called them to be, Lord. Let them know, God, that You are there to meet every need, Lord. You are to bring them there, to bring them forth into new dimensions, Lord, of what You have for their lives, Lord. And bless this congregation as a whole, Lord. Bless this people, Lord. Bless Pastor Don, Lord. Pastor Krista, Lord. Bless their lives, Lord God. Bless them, Lord. Give them a new unction in the Holy Spirit, Lord. A new fresh anointing, Lord God, that would just catapult them further into what You have for their lives, Lord God. God, I pray for the elders and the other pastors that are here, Lord. God, bless them, each and every one of them, Lord. Bless this house, Lord God. Bless it in a mighty way, Lord. God, I believe Your blessing is here. I believe Your anointing is here, Lord God. I believe that You are here, Lord God, to bless them in such mighty ways, God, to bring them into a season of newness, Lord, a season of change, Lord, a season of victory, Lord, a season of hope, Lord God. Bring forth that hope, Lord God. God, let the Holy Spirit be so powerful in here that people cannot even stand to be in the midst of it without falling and worshiping and saying, oh, Lord God, You are holy. You are powerful. You are mighty, Lord God. God, just as Pastor Don said today, Lord, raise the roof in this building, Lord God. Bring in people that need to hear Your Word, Lord. People that need to be touched by Your Holy Spirit, Lord. Bring them forth, Lord God. Let this be an hour of new beginnings, Lord. Let this be a season of newness, Lord. Let this be a season of dynamic things taking place in the spiritual realm, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our brother, wasn't that a great word this morning? As you find your way back to your seats, we want to take an opportunity, because I believe that when you plant a seed somewhere, you know it's going to do great things. We want to plant a seed in kids' ministry and give Him a love offering this morning. So real quickly, whenever the Lord lays on your heart, the ushers are going to come forward. We're just going to take up a love offering for Him. And we want to be blessed. We want to bless this man of God and the impartation that He's given us this morning. And know that while we plan His ministry, we are partakers of whatever He has, the people that He touches. And this is for you guys, okay? You got to look at this. This is about you. And you can have the opportunity to place a love offering in His ministry. So let's be a part of this. Let's just give you a couple minutes. The musicians are going to be up here. We're going to end up closing with a song after we play for this love offering. And Kirk's going to dismiss. So it's been a great day. And it's a great day to be in the Lord, isn't it? He wants to do great things in your lives. And I believe that He wants to transform people every day into His image. Growing. Thank You, Jesus. Mm-hmm.